If you have a Bible with you this morning, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin this morning by reading from verse 7 to verse 11. John says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Let's ask God to help us this morning. Father, we do thank you that the love of Christ is available to us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, in the day and time that we live in, we need it more than ever, not only to live with each other, Lord, but to witness this glorious gospel to this lost and dying world. Father, we pray that all men will see our love for each other and that they will glorify you. And Father, that we will learn from your word what true love really is. Father, we ask it in the name of your holy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Last time, we looked at the subject of fellowship and obedience. And we saw that in 1 John 2, verses 3 to 6, teach that there can be no fellowship with God apart from obedience to the commandments of God. True fellowship with God always expresses itself in obedience to the will of God. And when we're talking about the will of God, we're talking about God's word, keeping his word, and keeping his commandments. Now, what John is doing is he's basically refuting the false teachings of the Gnostic heretics, because they were teaching that you can know God savingly, personally, and intimately without obeying his word and without obeying his commandments. In other words, they were teaching that you can live a life of darkness and be in fellowship with God, that you can live a sinful, evil, disobedient life and still have a relationship with God. But John tells them, he says, to profess that you know him and not keep his commandments makes you a liar. And he says that the truth is not in you. And the reason why he says it is because the true gospel always produces obedience to God. So John is telling them that the keeping of the commandments is the test of true knowledge of God, and not that mystical knowledge that we showed you last time that the Gnostics were teaching. Now, when we say keeping the commandments, we're not saying that you can keep them perfectly, because only Christ could do that. But we're talking about just keeping them habitually, keeping them as a way of life. In other words, as the psalmist says, that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Or the psalmist in Psalm 119, he speaks of running the course of God's commandments. So they were saying that they knew God, that they had a personal relationship with God, they were acquainted with him, and if you do have that, then you are walking in the light as he is in the light. Now, today we want to start looking again at 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, and John says that he who says he abides in him, or he who says he's in union with him, speaking of Christ, he says he ought himself also to walk just as he has walked. Or you could say live as Christ lived. And one of the things we will see today is Christ lived a life of love. The Son of God incarnate walked this earth as a perfect display and a perfect example of what true love is. He walked this earth and he gave us a perfect display and an example of what true love is for our Heavenly Father and what true love is for our neighbor. And of course, he also showed us what true love is for sinners. Now, the Word of God teaches that the command to love includes all the other commandments. Jesus himself taught that. I want to read a passage of scripture. You don't have to really turn to this, but it'll be in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. because we have in this passage of scripture the account of a lawyer asking Jesus a question to test him. And this is what he asked him. He says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus said, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, one man says this about that. He says, "These two commandments are the nail from which everything else in the Old Testament hangs suspended. You take away this nail and everything else would fall into a heap of nothing." He said that if you take away these two commandments, everything else in the Old Testament would lose its meaning, it would lose its significance and its purpose. And he also says that the gospel hangs on these two commandments. So only those who have been saved and converted by the gospel can, by any degree in their life, fulfill these two commandments. Because these two commandments show us one thing specifically, that we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will never love God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and our neighbor as ourselves. And like I said, we can't do it perfectly except through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, by nature, we all lack this love that's demanded by the commandments. The word of God says that we are born guilty into this world before God. We are born into this world hating God. And Titus 3:3 says we're born into this world hateful and hating one another. And what we need is to be restored by the means of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's going to be through the gospel of Christ that we are given a heart of love. Paul says in Romans 5:5, he says, "Now hope does not disappoint." He says, "But because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you were saved, you receive the love of God in your heart. And a man or a woman that are not converted, even though they profess all type of religion, the love of God is not in their hearts, because you must have the Holy Spirit to have the love of God in your heart. Another passage of scripture is Romans 13:8. The Apostle Paul talks about this. He says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." Now, when he says you have fulfilled the law when you love one another, he's saying that you have done all that the law demands regarding your neighbor. You know, he who has obeyed the whole law in regard to his neighbor in every aspect of the law. And then he gives the commandments. And here's what he says love is. He says, "You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet." He quotes the second half of the Decalogue, and he calls this loving your neighbor. And then Paul sums it up. He says, "Love does no harm to a neighbor. It never wrongs a neighbor. It works no ill to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." Or you could say it this way: love satisfies the law. Now, because we're good old red-blooded Americans, when we talk about law, we can't see love in law. But without the law, there is no love. I'll tell you something else, too. Without love, there is no faith, because faith worketh by love. So love's a major issue, what John is talking about. It could be said that love is the commandment of the epistle of 1 John. Some call John the apostle of love. In these five chapters, we will see that it occurs over and over again, at least six times. And the reason John writes so strongly about the command to love is because of the Gnostics, because they had broken this command. They had disregarded this command. They had disobeyed it. They were said to be men who were very arrogant. They were contemptuous. They were exclusive. These were men who professed a religion, who had a very unloving attitude. And yet they claim to have fellowship, and they claim to know God. So what we want to do this morning is we basically want to look at what John writes about brotherly love that's commanded in the gospel of Christ. Now, the first thing we see here is, number one, John practices what he preaches. He practices what he preaches. 1 John 2:7, John says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you." He says, but and when he says this, he uses this word brethren, because that's a key word in what he says here. He said, "I write no new commandment to you." And this word brethren could be translated beloved. He begins to discuss this subject of brotherly love, and he addresses them by using a term to express his love and affection for these brethren. When he calls them brethren or beloved, which I like to term beloved, he speaks of them as God's beloved people, or you could say he speaks to them as people who are greatly loved by God. What John speaks of here when he calls them brethren, he's speaking of his concern, his deep concern for their welfare, and he's about to teach them love, so he's beginning teaching them love by letting his love for them be known. Now, we have a lot of young men here that will be pastors someday. And I will promise you as a pastor, if you don't know how to love, you will learn how to love. And what I say that for is because you need to let your love for the people be known to them. Because if you don't, then everything else you preach will be pure hypocrisy if you don't love the people of God. Because these are the beloved of God. These are God's special vessels, if you could say, they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he begins by letting his love for them be known. Number two, John writes to them an old commandment, or you could say the oldness of the commandment to love that they already had been taught, they already knew. 1 John 2:7, he says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning." Now, what he's writing to them of, this is something that has been in existence. They'd already been taught it in the past. It's something that they already knew. Now, the question is, from the beginning of what? You know, how have they known this from the beginning? Does he mean the beginning of Christ's ministry when he gave the commandment to love to his disciples? Because I can remind you, as Pastor Derek taught us in John chapter 13 at the Last Supper, Christ gives the final instructions to his disciples before he departs from this world to go to his Father. And in John 13, 34, he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And what Christ is telling them here, he says, "I'm giving you a new commandment, and I want you to love each other," or "keep on loving one another," or "keep on showing your love for one another as I continually show my love for you." Now, this love he talks about here is the word agape, and I'm not going to give you a full definition, but it means unconditional, sacrificial love. I want you to keep agapeing each other as I agape you. And then he says in verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So that word that he uses for love there is agapeo, and it means an intelligent, purposeful love that seeks to promote the highest good for the one who is loved. But he doesn't stop right there. He says you must do this at the expense of self. And that just simply means that it's a self-giving, self-sacrificial love where you lay down your life for the welfare of others. Christ also tells them in John 15, 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And he also says that the greatest love that one could have for his friends is to lay down his life for his friends. So when John says the word which you heard from the beginning, Christ gave this command to his disciples about 60 years earlier, but there were people that John was talking to in this letter were alive at this time. But I believe John's talking about the time when they first heard and received the gospel that was preached to them, because they heard the commandment and they were living out the fact that they need to love one another, because when this message came to them, love was embodied in the message of the gospel. You cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone without preaching love. Like Pastor Jim preached last week in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That's love. The gospel is full of love, not only God's love for us, but the fact that we need to love God. So this one man says, this command to love for centuries before Christianity came on the scene lay embedded in the Mosaic law. And it said, he says, at least in principle, the law of love is as old as the creation. For example, Leviticus 19:17. He says, you shall not hate your brother or your sister, I could say today, in your heart. 19:18, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. And then he says this, and this is in the law. He says, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus said, this commandment remains in force, and he's telling them that they need to stick to what they have been taught in the beginning. It's an old commandment, but it's also a new commandment. So let's look at the newness of this commandment this morning. 1 John 2:8, John says this, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in you and in him. And the key word is this word again. And John is saying, in another sense, from another point of view, this commandment is new. Now, the question will come up immediately. How is this commandment made new? What is new about the commandment to love? Because the essence of the commandment is in the Old Testament. The essence of the commandment to love, you can find it in Exodus 20. You can find it in Leviticus 19. You can find it in Deuteronomy 3. So how does it become new? Very, very simple. Jesus Christ came on the scene and made it new. That's real simple. One man says that Jesus gave it new birth. Jesus clothed it with fresh sanction. Jesus gave it new authority. That's all to the commandment of love. Jesus, when he came on the scene, he gave the command for the new age, which he inaugurated, and it's the command for the whole gospel age. John 13:34, we read it just a minute ago. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is the command for the church. That is how the church is to love, how Christ loved us. How did he love us? He loved us with self-giving, self-sacrificing, unconditional love. Just to give you, not to get off beat here, but Ephesians 6:25, he says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So what Jesus did when he came on this scene, he made the commandment new by making his own love the model for it. And Jesus gave fresh meaning to the old commandment, which made it new. The Son of God became incarnate. He walked this earth preaching and teaching the will of God. And what he taught gave a new meaning to love. Now, if you want to, you don't really have to turn there, but I want to look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I call the Sermon on the Mount the Great Separator. Because you think you're a Christian till you read this. You think you love people till you read this. And when Jesus came on the scene, he gave a new meaning to love. And every time I read this passage of scripture, I always search my heart out. You know, what would I do if this happened? What would I do if that happened? What would I do if somebody smacked me on my cheek? Y'all with me this morning? And you find out whether or not you're a real Christian. Because it's easy to love other people that's loving you back. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new meaning on love and what love really means. Pastor Jim took us through a series in our Saturday morning Bible studies in 1 Corinthians 13. And he describes love. And you find out real quick, you don't have as much love as you think you have. And you find out real quick that it's going to be a price for you to learn how to love. Because it's a new commandment that Jesus gave. And that's what Paul is giving the description of in 1 Corinthians 13, is the new commandment that's on the scene considering love. So what does Jesus say in Matthew 5:38? He says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, I'm going to stop right there. That's the way we understand love, per se. Are y'all with me? You might as well admit it, because that's the way you understand love, mostly. But Jesus said, but I say to you, and I would put in parentheses, the new commandment. Things are new when Jesus came on the scene. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I just want to point that out, because Jesus is pointing out the fact that you love not only your friends, but this new meaning of the commandment requires you to love your enemies. It requires you to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, Jesus lived the new commandment that he taught perfectly when he walked this earth. Jesus set the perfect example of the new command to love. Romans 5:6 says this. He says, for when we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, he died for those who hated and despised him, which is all of us. 5:8, he says, God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we still hated God, Christ died for us. And then 5:10, for if when we were enemies, he said, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I remember an account in Luke chapter 9, verse 51 to 56. Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem, and the village of the Samaritans refused to receive Jesus. So this upset James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, because they had forgot all about the new commandment to love. So they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them like Elijah did? Jesus is on the scene. You don't do like Elijah did no more. Amen. Y'all might as well amen, because they're still thinking an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. A lot of people say, oh, I wish I had the power of God. I wish I could be like Elijah and some of the men of the Old Testament. You would kill everybody on the earth if you had the power that they had back then. And I'm just making a joke about that, because everybody would be dead. But Jesus said this, because the new commandment has come. He says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Jesus perfectly showed us what love is as he was dying on the cross. He shows us the newness of the commandment, and he shows us the exclusiveness of the new commandment. Because while he's up there on that cross, he prays for his enemies who are putting him to death. They are doing cruel and awful things to him as he suffers for our sins. Luke chapter 23, verse 33, it says, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then verse 34, then Jesus said, Now, the new commandment to love. Do you realize what they were doing to him? How they were humiliating him, mocking him, spitting on him, blaspheming him in every way that you could. Now, you got to remember now, this is the one that made them. People don't ever think about that. You know, I'm going, like, he created these clowns. I say clowns, but whoever they are. He didn't create them clowns, but I'm just saying, he created them. And they're doing this. And so we see here in this passage of scripture, they're doing these cruel things to him. It said that when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand, the other. And said, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So Jesus was not a hypocrite, because he told us in the Sermon on the Mount, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. This is the new commandment in action. And I believe that the church is going to have to put the new commandment in action. People say, oh, we'll just get through till the Lord comes. I'm going up in the rapture. It's not that easy. A lot of people say, you know, we're going to escape the tribulation period. You are in the tribulation period. This is just a matter of it being instituted in your life, because we've been in the tribulation period and stuff. And a lot of Christians have suffered things and are suffering things right now. We have not a clue what they're going through. One particular area, I won't say it on here, but one particular area for sure that they are suffering this. And they're having to put the new commandment into action. And it's not easy. But you're filled with the Spirit of God. And you're here to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will be with us in anything that we have to go through. Second example in the Word of God is Acts chapter 7, verse 59 to 60. You got the account of Stephen being martyred by stoning. And as he's being murdered, he displays the newness of the commandment to love. And it says, then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. See, he's loving his enemies and his persecutors as they're stoning him. And when he said this, he fell asleep. So that was just real simple what Stephen said. But he was praying for those who were persecuting him for the faith. And he was putting the newness of the commandment into action. 1 John 2:8, John goes on to say, he said, this thing is true in him and in you. In other words, the new commandment is a reality in Christ, and it's a reality in you. It can be seen both in you and in Christ. So the newness is real in Christ, and the newness of this commandment should be real in his people. Love is new in him because his life embodied what true love is. And he demonstrated love in a manner that was never known before, because this love he demonstrated, which is agape love, he demonstrated perfectly on the cross at Calvary. Now, this was new, and this was radically different from the love of the religious leaders that they had been taught, that they were teaching to Israel. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But this man says this. He said, in Jesus Christ, love burst upon the world as a new and a startling reality. And I'll tell you how he did it. I love these words. But I say unto you, those are the words he used, and it burst on scene. And how is this love new in the case of those John writes to, or how is love new in the case of us as believers? The gospel brings love into our lives as something radically new. And it comes to us as an entirely new way of life. The love of Christ, as one man says, brings a new day in the relationships of man to man. You say, what does this love bring? This love brings forgiveness, reconciliation, and peace. You say, why are so many churches having so much problem? I'll tell you why. Because they need to get converted. If we love one another, we should get along with each other. Because how can we call it love if we're not getting along with each other? And I'm not saying they're unsaved, but they just need to learn about the new commandment. You know, some of them probably still are saved and still looking at the old commandment. But Jesus brought in the new commandment. And the new commandment says you need to love, you need to have forgiveness, reconciliation, and peace amongst each other. And it's not always easy. And the results are this when it happens within a church. The world observes this new commandment manifesting itself in our lives as Christians with each other, and the world marvels at what it sees. People say, we need diversity. We got every kind of sinner you want to name in here. Well, that's diversity, if you understand what I'm saying. But we get along. Y'all looking at me awful hard. We get along. Or put it like this, we will get along. Put it like that. Because we will. So this is what the world sees. They see a manifestation of Christ's words to his disciples. By all this, men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another, or you keep showing love to one another. Now, I will give you some quotes throughout history where people marveled at the way Christians loved each other. And these are just simple quotes, nothing big. One man says this. He says, behold how these Christians love one another. That's all he said. But he's marveling at the fervent love that they have for one another. One old king says this. He says, they love each other without even being acquainted or kin to each other, as if family. And then one man says this. He says, their master has implanted in them the belief that they are all brethren. See how they love each other. And then one man asked John, he says, why are you always saying constantly, little children, love one another? And this is what John said. John said, this is the precept of of the Lord. And he says, only if this is done, it will be enough. And that's what he's saying is, if they will do this, I won't keep on having to say it. It'll be enough. And I put 1 Corinthians 13:8 in there because love never fails. Now, John finishes this passage and gives them a reason why he's writing these things. He says in verse 8, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And he's speaking to people that had been lost. They were deep in paganism, but salvation has come. The true light of the gospel is shining in their hearts before God. And John assures them that the newness of this commandment in Christ can be clearly seen shining in their hearts and their lives as they live with each other. Now, I want to close down this morning with an application of this commandment to love, because John applies the test of love to three types of professing believers. In verse 9, the first one, he said, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. In other words, he who says he's in the light and he hates his brother, he's still living in the realm of darkness. And what John is saying is that he is making a false profession because he's without love. John is saying he's self-deceived and he has a contradiction between his profession and his conduct, which is his life. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 says, without love, we are nothing. And he says that in the context of having all knowledge, you know, and knowing everything and all the things he says in 1 Corinthians 1-3. He says, without love, we're nothing. I don't care how religious we are, or how long we've been saved, this, that, or the other. Without love, you are nothing. Second one John talks about here, he said, he who loves his brother, and I put in parentheses, sister, I like to say brethren because I don't want to leave the women out, because sometimes they think they don't have to do these things, but you have to do the same thing to be into and stuff like that. But no, I'm just kidding. But I do like to say brethren so you know I'm talking to everybody, because the Bible is mostly written in the masculine gender, but that's nothing against women because it has a lot of great things to say about women too. It's just the way it's written. But he said, he who loves his brother abides in the light and there is no cause for stumbling in him. And what he's saying here is that he who truly loves his brother makes no claims to love anybody. And the reason why he doesn't claim to love anybody is because his practice in life speaks for itself. He does not need a profession because his life shows out and proves that he has love. And he says there's no cause for stumbling in him. And he says this person that really loves their brethren, they will never, ever be a hindrance, nor will they ever work ill to their neighbor. And then the last one, verse 11. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And so he's saying that even though they are religious and they have a name, that they are belong to God, they have hate in their hearts and they are totally unaware of the outcome of their life because they really think they're going one way, but they're actually going somewhere else. And he says the darkness has effectively blinded their eyes. He says one thing here very important. When you persist in hatred and sin, it inevitably leads to moral and spiritual blindness. Hate destroys any windows of light from God, and it blinds one to the truth, and you know not where you're going. So you think you're going to heaven, you think you're right with God when you're on the path to hell because you do not know where you're going. Now John, and he gets this from Jesus, as we get farther into this letter, he will say that if you hate, you are a murderer. It's just like killing somebody, you know, which makes it really, really serious concerning love for your brother. Now, I want to close down with this scripture, these two scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the main thing that has become new, other than a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit, is the commandment to love like Jesus loved. That has become new if you are a Christian. And Paul says in Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, the kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of love. I was thinking the other day about the new heavens and the new earth where there's no hate, no sin, no anything. I still can't get that. But it's going to happen. But I can't picture it. You know, I'm going like, how could this, I mean, how could you not be just bad at least one day? You know, slip up one time. What would that kingdom be like? And I'm going to say it this morning because if you understand the law and you interpret the law right in the word of God, it speaks of nothing but love. Why? Because it's love for God and it's love for your neighbor. And you will do no, you will not, you know, harm your neighbor and stuff. It preaches love for your neighbor if you read the law. And so we see in Colossians 1:12-14, that the character of the new man is headlined by love, the new commandment of love, because you need the gospel of Christ for this love to operate in your life. And so as we continue to study this, John will point out who really has love and who really obey the commandment to love that's given to us by Christ. And I will leave you with this morning. 1 Corinthians 13 defines for us what brotherly love should look like. I'm not going to read it this morning. And as we live this out among each other in the newness of the commandment, let me say it this morning this way. The more we love, the sweeter this church will be. And guess what? The more we love, the sweeter Christ will be. Because Christ is the Savior of love. And some people say, well, you know, that's kind of like sissified and stuff like this. No. No. Love, I'm going to say this, and women don't take this offensively, will make a man out of you. You understand? Not you women. I don't mean that because it's hard to say stuff like at this day and time. You got to be careful how you say stuff. Put it like this. Love will make a warrior out of you. Amen. It will make a warrior out of you. And if you want to understand what spiritual warfare is all about, then implement the new commandment in your life. Because I'm telling you that you'll find out what you're all about. And, you know, even as I preach it, I already know, you know, what it's about in my life. And I'm just saying this to be big and bold or anything else. I know what Jesus is saying here. And I know when you go through that, you're going to completely get rid of yourself, or you will not love and understand what true love really is. Now, if you're unsaved today, you need this love. You say, why do I need it? Because it's the love of Christ. And that's how you will be in heaven. And you'll love your brother, and you'll love your neighbor, and you will love God with all your heart. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for your love that passes all understanding. Father, we love you this morning because you first loved us. And Father, we thank you for your electing love. And Father, we know that there are people still yet in this world that you love and that you will bring into your kingdom. Father, give us a faithful heart to preach this glorious gospel, which will set them free from darkness and bring them into the marvelous light of your Son. Father, we thank you that you have brought us together as a church. And Father, we pray that we learn love, that we live love, and that we love you more. Father, we thank and bless you this morning, and we thank you for your word that guides us into all truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.